Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Here we are in the first Sunday in Lent. And as you recall hearing the gospel, you're thinking, gosh, didn't we just hear this last year? Yeah, you did. Every year we use one of the gospel accounts to talk about the temptation of Jesus. Last year we heard from Mark. This year we'll hear from Luke. Next year we'll hear from Matthew. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. That little phrase, returned from the Jordan, reminds us that the temptation happened right after Jesus was baptized. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This was not only an amazing epiphany to John the Baptist and the other people who witnessed Jesus' baptism, but it was also a message to the devil and his evil angels. God, the Son, had taken on human flesh. He is bringing the battle to the earth. This is the one who will crush the serpent's head. Not long after the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove, this very same Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days of temptation. And he ate nothing during those 40 days. Nothing. And when they were ended, he was hungry. You know, my first response is pretty much a person, a human being of natural inclinations. It's to say, well, duh, you know, 40 days, I can hardly make it through a 24-hour period without food. 40 days? Can you even imagine how crazy you'd be at the end of that period? So it seems like common sense. Of course he was hungry. But there is a difference here. Jesus is not only true man, but he is also true God. I've heard people say that, you know, for Jesus to hang on the cross was no big thing. All he had to do is administer a little divine anesthetic, and the cross would not hurt at all. That phrase, he was hungry, is one of the many clues that tells us that Jesus didn't always use his divine attributes. It tells us that when Jesus took our place under the law, he did not use any resources that we ourselves do not have. The Holy Spirit, working through Luke, wants us to understand that Jesus endured the temptations of the devil and the tortures of the cross without using his divine power in any way. So the first temptation comes to him. It's very subtle. Usually someone will wonder what the big deal is about converting stones into bread. You know the gospel accounts, two other accounts at least, where Jesus multiplies the loaves for thousands of people. What could possibly be so terrible of him converting a little bread out of stones out there in the wilderness where no one would really know what he had done? But you see, the bread isn't the problem. The problem is faith. Lack of faith. The problem is doubt. Therefore, just as we should trust God to give us all things, so also Jesus should trust in God to give him all things. The devil tried to plant doubt in Jesus' mind. God has forgotten you. He's willing to let you die of hunger. Back when you were baptized, he said that you were his beloved son, but did he mean it? After all, what loving father would allow his son to wander around hungry in the wilderness? His promise means nothing to you. Your concern is for bread. Forget about God's word. Take matters into your own hands. Don't rely on God. The devil hoped that thoughts like these would enter into Jesus' mind, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread." You can see doubt at work at all three of the temptations recorded in today's gospel. Now let's consider the next temptation that Luke records. The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in this moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." The devil's words, "It has been delivered to me," reminds us of that great tragedy of Adam and Eve's surrender to the devil in the garden. Here the devil would try to convince Jesus that the world belongs to him ever since Adam and Eve fall. You made them stewards over the world, and they gave the stewardship to me. Now it's mine. Then the devil offered Jesus a deal. "The voice who claimed to be your loving father wants you to suffer and die in order to get the world back. What kind of loving father would do that? I've got an idea. It'll be a lot better. You don't have to go through all the shame and pain and suffering and death to win back the world. There can be peace between us now. It's a win-win situation, a real no-brainer. I would be willing to give this world back to you. All I ask in return is that you bow down and worship me. Just this one time. That's all. I'm not asking for much. Why can't we just get along?" The temptation is still around today. The devil readily tells us that we can be at peace with all people. All we need to do is surrender our faithfulness to his word. So what if not everyone agrees with the Bible 100%? The important thing is that we all get along, right? As long as we make this a better world where everyone is happy, we're all good, right? That's the important thing. Worshiping the true God, that's not that important. Then the final temptation. The devil put on these incredible robes of a great preacher. He quotes the word of God, but he only quotes the words that suit his purpose. And he took Jesus to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." The devil quoted from the very psalm that we used in our song of praise just a few minutes ago. But he left out words that changed the meaning of the passage. And in this way, the devil changed the psalm from God's promise to protect us into God's permission to do stupid things, like jump off the pinnacle of the temple. False teachers do the same kind of thing today. They pick and choose which words they're going to use and which words they will discard. Even though Jesus said, "This is my body, this is my blood," what it really means is, "This represents my body, this represents my blood." Even though Jesus told the church to teach all that he had commanded, We only need to learn enough, and we get to decide what's enough. We simply forget that God, that telling God that we don't need any more of His Word is the same thing as telling Him we just don't need Him anymore. And sadly, we all must confess that we do not listen to the Word of God as we should. We often let the devil suggest the words of Scripture that we want to hear. The devil and the world seduce us with the words that we want to hear. And we have especially made ourselves into little false gods by listening to our words instead of God's. Let me ask you, at what cost do we listen to our own words? The words we like instead of the words we need, God's Word. Here's the plain truth. We regularly fall for the devil's lies, but Jesus never did. Jesus fought back with a strategy that is available to every person. He was faithful, though we were not. He quoted from the Word of God. Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone," from Deuteronomy 8. "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only Him shall you serve." Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6. "And it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Also from Deuteronomy 6. God's Word is the weapon Jesus used to stop the devil's temptation. It is the weapon that God has given us. And let me ask you again, at what cost do we listen to the world, to the words, like the words that we like instead of the words that we need? When Adam and Eve chose to follow the devil's temptation, they ran with it. Sin entered the world, and along with sin came death. And the death of every human being was the cost. Had Jesus failed the test, our redemption from sin, death, and hell would have been our final payment. Thank God He didn't fail. But there's more. Today's gospel tells us that when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This means the temptations didn't stop in the wilderness, but only till an opportune time. The devil tempted Jesus over and over again. He didn't quit until Jesus was dead on the cross. Even while Jesus was on the cross, we hear the devil speak through his servants, saying, "You who would destroy the temple and raise it up in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." There was that phrase of doubt again. If you are the Son of God. Even at the cross, the devil tried to sow seeds of doubt. And even as Jesus died, he fought off the temptations with the Word of God. His last words were from a psalm. "Into your hand I commit my spirit." We often fall to the devil's lies, no question. But Jesus never did. Jesus withstood the devil's temptation on our behalf. He's our champion. He never sinned. He stayed on the hard road to the cross. And eventually the world was His again, but not through compromise with Satan. Jesus, our champion, fulfilled every promise that God had made. Jesus withstood the devil himself in the wilderness of hunger. He endured temptation even to the cross. Jesus never wavered. And in the end, Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil. Only in perfect obedience and righteousness could he rise from the dead. And with this perfect life, he bought us back with his holy, precious blood and his innocent sufferings and death, that we might be his own and live under him in his kingdom. Undeserved as we are. You know, this is a lot, I understand, and I don't want you to miss it. So I kind of want to put my last thoughts into a little contemporized language. Please don't get mad at me. This is just a way of helping us to remember some things. There's a great Geico commercial with some guys lifting weights, and you'll catch my drift as I borrow from them. Listen, bro. With his victory on the cross, Jesus earned forgiveness for us. Oh, that's more, professor. Listen, protein shake. The Holy Spirit brings that forgiveness to us as he works faith in us through his word and sacraments. And there's one more thing, brotato chip. The Holy Spirit will aid us in our struggle with the devil's temptations, including the temptation to compromise the God's word. And finally, Teddy Roosevelt, the Holy Spirit will strengthen our faith and bring us home to everlasting life. We have an amazing God, and I certainly don't mean to trivialize his work. I hope these words will sink deeply into your hearts, because so often we think we have failed God in his law. We have not been obedient. There is no righteousness whatsoever in us. But God, through Christ, has provided us with perfect obedience and Jesus' perfect righteousness. And he gives it to you as a free gift. There's nothing better than that. In Jesus' name, amen.